I want us to open our Bibles this morning in the book of Habakkuk and the chapter number 3. We seek to draw to a conclusion the messages that the Lord has given to us in this book of Habakkuk. The chapter number 3, commencing to read at the verse number 8. Verse number 8 in this final chapter. Let us follow the reading of God's Word. In verse number 8, it commences with a question. Was the Lord displeased against the rivers? Was thine anger against the rivers? Was thy wrath against the sea, that thou didst ride upon thine horses and thy chariots of salvation? Thy bow was made quite naked, according to the oaths of the tribes, even thy words, Selah. Thou didst cleave the earth with rivers. The mountains saw thee, and they trembled. The overflowing of the water passed by. The deep uttered his voice and lifted up his hands on high. The sun and moon stood still in their habitation. At the light of thine arrows they went, and at the shining of thy glittering spear. Thou didst march through the land in indignation. Thou didst thresh the heathen in anger. Thou wentest forth for the salvation of thy people, even for salvation with thine anointed. Thou woundest the head out of the house of the wicked, by discovering the foundation unto the neck, Selah. Thou didst strike through with his staves the head of his villages. They came out as a whirlwind to scatter me. Their rejoicing was as to devour the poor secretly. Thou didst walk through the sea with thine horses, through the heap of great waters. And when I heard, my belly trembled, my lips quivered at thy voice, and I, the rottenness entered into my bones, and I trembled in myself that I might rest in the day of trouble. When he cometh up unto the people, he will invade them with his troops. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stall. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk upon my high places. To the chief singer on my stringed instruments. Amen. And we know that God will add his blessing to the reading of his precious truth. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we bow before thee, and we thank thee and we praise thee that thou art a great God, that thou art worthy to be worshipped and praised. And as we bow in thy holy presence, we pray that thou wilt speak to us afresh, and that thou wilt minister to the needs of every heart, every man, every woman, boy and girl that's in this gathering. God, meet the need of all of our hearts. And to this end, O God, I trust thee now for power. It is thy power that shall not fail. The words that thou this day shall give me shall and must prevail. For we pray believing in Jesus' precious name, and for Jesus' sake, amen and amen. As we conclude our study this morning in the will of God, in this book of Habakkuk, in the chapter 3, I trust and pray that the Spirit of God will continue to speak to us as we think of these closing verses, from verse number 8 to verse number 19. In this third chapter, it commenced with the cry, the prayer, the supplication of the man of God. He said in verse 2, O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known in wrath, remember mercy. And as we studied the Word of God, we saw the brokenness of the man of God. He was broken because he was confronted by God's Word. He was also broken because he had a holy concern for God's work. And then he was broken because he was convinced of God's wrath. And friend, I believe today that you and I need that brokenness before the Lord. And revival is the only answer. And he cries unto God. He said, God, I was afraid. And he said, when I heard thy speech, and he says, revive thy work in the midst of the years, in the midst of the years, make known. In wrath, remember mercy. And then having looked at Habakkuk's supplication, we then were looking at our final occasion at Habakkuk's support, and how that in the midst of his trembling, in the midst of his fear of what was going to happen to the people, he got his eyes upon the Lord and he sees the God of glory. He sees the Lord in all His greatness, in all His majesty, and in all His power. And you know, he considers God's majesty, and we looked at that as we see it there in these continuing verses. The majesty of God, the great God of heaven, the great God Himself who is Jehovah, Eloah, the strong and the powerful God, the one who is the Creator, the one who's in absolute control of everything. Thank God we can sing today. God is still on the throne. He is Jehovah God. He is on the throne and He still remembers His own. But not only did we notice God's majesty, but and that supported the man of God in this hour of need, but he also considered God's might. In verses 6 and 7, he stood and measured the earth. He beheld and drove asunder the nations. And the everlasting mountains were scattered. The perpetual hills did bow. His ways are everlasting. I saw the tents of Cushan in affliction. And the curtains of the land of Midian did tremble. And there we see that he was supported by God's might as well as God's majesty. He didn't need to be afraid when he realized that God, the mighty God of heaven, was the one that was leading and the one that was in control. And then verses 8, it commences God's manifestation, because here we see God manifesting His might. And God manifesting His majesty. And friends, as he thought about this and as he contemplated it, it was a tremendous support to him. And it was a tremendous confidence for him in the day of testing that was surely coming. Whenever Babylonian forces were going to come upon Judah, and they would be tested to the deepest part of their being. My Habakkuk seeks to support himself and encourage himself as he thinks about God's manifestation in the days that were past. He sees God as a God of war. He sees Him as one who is equipped for conflict. Look there in those verses from 8 to verse number 12. Was the Lord displeased against the rivers? Was thine anger against the rivers? Was thy wrath against the sea? That thou didst ride upon thine horses and thy chariots of salvation. Thy bow was made quite naked, according to the oaths of the tribe, even thy word. Thou didst cleave the earth with rivers. The mountains saw thee and they trembled. The overflowing of the water passed by. The deep entered his voice and lifted up his hand on high. The sun and the moon stood still in their habitations. At the light of thine arrows they went, and at the shining of thy glittering spear, thou didst march through the land in indignation. Thou didst thrash the heathen in anger. And there we see the manifestation of the majesty and the manifestation of the might of God. And that was a tremendous confidence for the man of God. For God indeed had done these great things. And as he considered them, and as he considered what God had done in the destruction of his enemies, and what God had done for the salvation of his people, and what God had done in the vindication of his honor, this really encouraged the man of God, and he encouraged himself in the Lord. Friend, as we think of these great, the movement of God in days that are past, remember this, God's going to work And God is going to work in a mighty way. I was thinking, you know, of that sixth chapter of the book of Revelation, a scene that is yet to come. Let me read you the verses there in Revelation chapter 6, verse number 12. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake. And the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. And the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs, when she's shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said unto the mountains and rocks, fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Oh friend, there is going to be a great day of the manifestation yet to come of the majesty of God and of the might of God. And you know, as man realizes that one day he's got to stand before God in his sin, here we see sinful man that has been defiant of God. And yet when they realize they've got to appear before him and the great day of God's wrath has come, what would they say? They say to the rocks, they say to the mountains, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth upon the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. Here we find Habakkuk, and he encourages, he supports himself in the day of testing as he thinks of the majesty of God, as he thinks of the might of God, as he thinks of the manifestations of God's might and majesty. But there is something else that supports him in the day of trouble. He thinks about the mercy of God. Oh, how God has been merciful. Why did God do these things? Why did God, yes, the sun stands still, and at the light of thine arrows they went, and the shining of the glittering spear, thou didst march through the land in indignation, thou didst thresh the heathen in anger. Why did God do that, friend? He did it on behalf of his people. He did it on behalf of his people. God executed judgment upon the ungodly on behalf of his chosen people. You know, when God rises up, it's a fearful thing to think about, isn't it? When God rises up and man falls into the hands of this majestic, almighty God. Thank God those of us who are saved today, we have fallen into his mercy. We have come to a merciful God, a God who is full of compassion, a God who is plenteous in mercy. But those who reject the mercy of God, friend, look at verse 13. Thou wentest forth for the salvation of thy people. Yes, God did it for his people. And God will vindicate his people, let me tell you. God says to his children, fear not, little flock. It's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And amazing that God desires to give us something more. Hasn't God given us so much this morning? Whenever we think of the salvation that God has purchased for us, when we think of the eternal life that God has given to us, and yet God himself has more to give. Yes, heaven itself. To dwell in his presence forever, to sit at his feet. I often think of Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus, friend. Looking in with those longing eyes into the face of the Son of God. Friend, let me tell you, one day we'll sit at his feet. One day we'll gather round his throne. One day we'll see him face to face. And we'll look into the face of our blessed Savior, the one who has redeemed us. Oh, think of how God has intervened for us in the days that are past. Thou wentest forth
for the salvation of thy people. He went one day to Calvary. He went forth one day to fight the greatest battle. At the cross, and there at the cross, every demon of hell gathered round that cross. The very power of the devil himself sought to tempt the Savior at the cross of Calvary. Man had done all that man's wicked hands could ever do. And yet he went forth to the cross. The Bible says he set his face as a flint to go to Jerusalem. Nothing would have stopped him. Why? Because he went forth for the salvation of his people. Even for salvation with thine anointed. Thou woundest the head out of the house of the wicked by discovering the foundation unto the neck. In other words, friends, listen. God in his wrath was going to rise up, and from the foundation unto the neck, God was going to strip them. In other words, God would strip them from head to toe. God would strip them from head to toe. And God laid bare their bones. That's what God did on Babylon. This mighty nation. And God was going to step in. Yes, it is true that that nation would be used under God to sweep through the land of Judah and lay everything barren and lay everything low. But friend, thank God, here the prophet of God encourages himself and says, God, I know that's going to happen. And God, this is your plan and this is your purpose and I'm going with you. But God, you're going to strip Babylon from head to toe someday. You're going to judge them someday. And as he thought about the judgment of God, friend, when God would march through with judgment, he encouraged himself and supported him. For he knew that God would do it on behalf of his people. Friend, and he thought about the manifestation of God's power. Notice it says, verse 14, thou didst strike through with staves, his staves, the head of his villages. They came out as a whirlwind to scatter me. Their rejoicing was as to devour the poor secretly. Thou didst walk through the sea with thine horses, through the heap of great waters. And when I heard, my belly trembled. My lips quivered at thy voice. Rottenness entered into my bones, and I trembled in myself, that I might rest in the day of trouble. When he cometh up unto the people, he will invade them with his troops. And in light of the manifestation that God revealed to him, notice the first thing, verse 16, fear. He says, I tremble. I tremble. He said, listen, he said, my belly trembled, my lips quivered, at thy voice rottenness entered into my bones, I trembled in myself. Then what must it be when that great day comes when God rises up in wrath? And sinners fall into the hands of a righteous and a holy God. What must it be? It's an awful thing. But you and I have loved ones that are not saved. And they'll fall into the hands of an angry God someday. What an awful thing when God strips them from head to toe. When God brings them into judgment. When God arraigns them before his holy throne. Does that make you tremble? Does that make you shake, friend? Do you quiver at the thought of that unsaved loved one going out to meet God, lost forever? Into the judgment, into the wrath of God himself. He said, listen, I trembled in myself. In other words, listen, his knees and his feet, they just reeled in their place. He shook as he thought of the judgment of God. But listen, not only was there fear, but thank God there was faith. Look at it. That I might rest in the day of trouble. When he cometh up unto his people, he will invade them with his troops. And here's the last thought I want us to think this morning. This is what I want to bring to you. We have looked at Habakkuk's supplication. And then we have looked at the prophet's, not only supplication, but his support. The last thing is this, his serenity. His serenity. And that's what I want you to notice here, because as we have studied this third chapter, we have seen the prophet praying. And then he continues, he's pondering. And now finally he's praising. He came with a broken heart to God. He came with a burdened heart. He came with honest questions in his heart. And he poured them out before God. God answered him. And God told him what he was going to do, friend, listen. And what God said he didn't expect. But this is what God purposed and this is what God planned. You know, we don't live on explanations. We live in promises. And you and I need to take hold of the promises of God, friend, and we need to stand on the promises of God. I want you to know this, listen. As he looked around him, he trembled. As he looked within him, it said here, I trembled in myself. As he looked within, he trembled. As he looked around, he was tested. And we'll come to that verse 17. And then as he looked up, he triumphed. Look at verse 17. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat, and the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet. And he will make me to walk upon mine high places to the chief singer on my stringed instruments. Here's the reality, friend. Look at verse 17. The fig tree, no blossom. Here's the fruit. There is none on the vines. And here's the labor. The labor of the olive shall fail. And the fields shall yield no meat. And the flock shall be cut off from the fold. And there's no herd in the stall. See all of those things. Listen. Every one of those things were a reality. The figs and the olives. And the fields, and the flocks, and the herds. Those were all realities for the Jewish people. He knew exactly what he was talking about. In other words, friend, the larder would be empty. The economy was going to fail. The enemy was going to sweep through the land and lay everything bare. And through that mighty invasion, there would be desolation and there would be destruction. And you know, life is no longer filled with the blessings. It seems to be that the labor has all been in vain. And there's nothing in the stall anymore. And the flocks are no longer in the fold. They used to be there, but they've been driven out. We've been looking at some of the parts of the world recently where there have been the disasters. And friend, look at the devastation, and those people have absolutely nothing. Totally nothing. And you know, whilst that has all happened, you and I have sat down at the table, and we've never risen from the table hungry. Not once. And we've walked up the stairs or walked down the corridor and into our bedrooms, and we placed our head in the pillow, and we have clothes to pull over us, and we go to sleep. We don't go to bed hungry here in Ulster. But friend, here's realities. Many of those people didn't go hungry until this disaster struck. And it didn't matter whether they were rich or poor. They lost everything. The realities of life. Is that what your joy is, friend? Is that where you're finding your joy in the things that life has got to give you? You've got your life built up in things. Surrounded yourselves with the things of life and the comforts of life. And my, here we find that all those things have gone. The fig trees, there's no blossom. Go to the vine. There's no fruit there. And friend, in other words, their life has been turned upside down. And everything is at rock bottom. Tell me, how would you handle that? How would you face a situation like that? Maybe I'm not talking about things then. Maybe it's sickness. And friend, you're faced with a situation when the body that once was active, that once was able to do all those things, and you know there's something happening here in this body, and those things have been taken away from you. Tell me, how do you handle that? This is what the prophet said. Verse 16. He said, I trembled in myself that I might rest in the day of trouble. Here's the restful prophet. He rested in the Lord. He rested in the Lord. He knew that disaster was coming. He knew that heartache was in its way. He knew there was a day of trouble that was approaching. But he rested himself in the Lord. He got his eyes upon the Lord instead of man. We have quoted the verse of Scripture so many times, haven't we? All things work together for good to them that love God. Let me ask you this. And if the doctor told you and me tomorrow that we've got cancer, do you think that was for your good? Or if the doctor told you that you've got MS tomorrow, tell me, do you think that that would be for your good? Or would you charge God with making a mistake? You know, sometimes we glibly quote the Scriptures, don't we? I will bless the Lord at all times. Here we were. Notice all was in both those verses when I quoted. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. All things work together for good. Tell me, did God mean that when He gave it to us? Did that include the death of a loved one? Lord, I bless you. Did you honestly say that, friend? Did we? I bless you, Lord. You've taken And I looked in the way. You know, I had an experience this past weekend. That certainly is a humbling experience because we were traveling down the motorway, the M6. And as we were traveling down from one meeting, just after the meeting was over, with a great time, the Lord was with us. We had a tremendous time. We're coming up the road, Andrew and Stephen and Nell and myself. We're coming up in the car together, and others are traveling in the car behind. And we had a tremendous time in the presence of the Lord. And God was so wonderfully real in our midst. And we were coming up singing. Just traveling along, just around 70. Might have been 72, 73 miles per hour. Near midnight. Heading back to Glasgow. And as we're traveling up the road, friend, three lanes in the motorway, and there's this big, big lorry, and cars were just traveling everywhere, and just as we're traveling up. And this lorry just seemed to be blocking the way, and Andrew put the indicator out and turned to go into the third lane. But what we didn't notice, there was no third lane. It had ended. And so we went into just what it were, just looked straight at the crash barrier. And he just smashed the car off the verge, the motorway, and she just went out of control. To be honest, I can't tell you yet why, other than God. And killed. You know, had it been God's will the other way, would you have been blessing the Lord? Can you say, all things work together for good to them that love God? Because let me tell you what thought came to me, friend, that night was this. So many others have been going up, and in a moment, friend, they were out in God's eternity and sat to say they weren't saved. Out for a night of booze and out for a night of worldly pleasure. Go down the road, friend, listen. Just cut off and out to hell. Out to hell. Lost. And for some believing parent, some believing friend, listen. Where does the all things come in there, friend? Come on. I'll bless the Lord at all times. And here we find the prophet said, listen. He said, I trembled in myself that I might rest. In the day of trouble, he waited on God. He rested himself on God. I don't know what situation will face you or me this week, friend, but listen. Jesus says in his word, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden. He says, and I'll give you rest. Find your rest in him. Not only the rest for profit, but very quickly, the rejoicing profit. Look at verse 18. He says, yet, even all those things disappear. No herd in the stall, no flock in the fold, no meat in the field, no vine, no grapes in the vine, no figs blossoming on the fig tree, and all the labor in vain. He said, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. I know of no greater statement in the Scripture, friend. That is one of the most mightiest statements. Those verses, and
Let me tell you, many a time in my life I've gone back to those verses in the book of Habakkuk, and perhaps many people didn't even know they were there. And yet I remember reading that in a deep trial in my own life as a young preacher. And when I went to that those verses from God's Word, I realized, friend, listen, we don't have to have things to make us happy. Praise God, all we need is the Lord to make us happy. I will rejoice in the Lord, and I will joy in the God of my salvation. Why? Because God's able to do exceeding abundant above all that I could ever ask or think. My God shall supply all your need. Unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundant. We have a great God and we joy in Him. And not only is He able, but praise God, He's available. He's always there. Lastly, he says this, verse 19. The Lord God is my strength, and He will make my feet like hinds' feet, and He will make me to walk upon mine high places, to the chief singer on my stringed instruments. Not only the restful prophet, not only the rejoicing prophet, but praise God, the relying prophet. He says here, God, the Lord God is my strength. He'll bring me through, in other words. And He will make my feet like hinds' feet, friend. He's talking about the deer. He's talking about the deer, my, when it's faced with the obstacles in the way and faced with the barriers in the way. My, what does it do? It just leaps over them. Leaps over them. In other words, God will not only bring me through, God will bring me over. And then He'll make me to walk. Praise God, He'll lead me on. Upon mine high places. Glory to God. He'll lift me up where I can see a higher, better vision. He gives me songs in the night to the chief singer on my stringed instruments. He rests in the Lord. He rejoices in the Lord. He relies upon the Lord. He'll see me through. Are you trusting Him? Are you resting on Him today? Are you relying upon Him? He is my strength. Is that where your confidence is, brother? Is that where your rejoicing is, sister? I will joy in the God of my salvation. May God give us grace this day to look to Him for Jesus' sake. Let's bow our heads in prayer. And as our heads are bowed, maybe there's someone today, and friend, your eyes have been beclouded by sorrow. And you've got your eyes in your circumstances, and my, your eyes are filled with tears. You can't see the pathway ahead, and you feel at times that God has let you down. You feel at times that God has lost the plan. I want to tell you, friend, God's plan is a sovereign plan for His people. And God has ordained that them He also justified, praise God, He'll also glorify. He'll bring you through. And He'll not stop until He brings you home. He'll lead you on. He'll take you over, brother. Look to Him. Sister, do likewise. Maybe there's someone who's lost the vision of the Lord. You see Him not in His majesty. You see Him not this day in His might. You see Him not in the manifestations of His mercy. You've lost the vision of the Lord.
Oh, return to Him today. He loves you still. God hasn't forgotten you, child of God. He can't, because He'll never leave you, He'll never forsake you. We have a great God. Dear sinner, trust Him. Only trust Him, only trust Him now. He will save you. Hallelujah. He'll save you now. Heavenly Father, bless Your word to our hearts. Thank You for that wee book tucked away in the Old Testament. Thank You, Lord. The prophet started with prayer. And then he continued pondering all that Thou had to say. But praise God, it ends in praise. You give Your people the victory. 'Twas grace that brought me safe thus far. God's grace will lead me home. In Jesus' name.